So in Proverbs chapter 30, we have this beautiful statement about the Word of God. And then a request from Solomon to God about contentment. And what we find in this passage is God wants us to be content with our possessions, our circumstances, but He doesn't want us to be content with our current spiritual lives, that we always have ways to improve and be more like Jesus. Amen. So notice it. Verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 30 is where we'll begin. The Bible says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So I've entitled the message, Lest I Be Full. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are blessed to assemble here in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. We ask, Lord, that every one of us can push aside the many distractions of life and focus on hearing from your precious and powerful word this morning, that we would be responsive as the Holy Spirit applies it to our hearts. Lord, that we would go away changed. Lord, that if there's someone in our service not born again, that they would realize Christ died and rose again so that they could be born again and saved from their sins, and they would be saved today. So have your will and way in every heart. May you be pleased and glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love how he lays this beautiful foundational truth that should be the governing foundational truth of all of our lives that are Christians before making this request unto the Lord. And that foundational truth is that God's word is perfect. Amen. And it's all we need. And that is beautiful. Every word of God is pure. That's the way he starts off the passage. That phrase, we could spend a long time there, couldn't we? Every word of God is pure. That means there's no mistakes. That God promised, if you look at Psalm 12 quickly, verse 6, God promised us that he would preserve his word. And just like all the other promises in the scriptures, we as God's children, we believe God's promises and that he will always keep them. And one of the promises he made here in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, he says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Look at this next verse. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, we here at RBBC, we aren't silly enough to believe in the inspiration of the King James, but we do believe that our God watched over the preservation of his word. And those are two different things. That he watched over the process. And that when we got our first mass-produced Bible 400 years ago, God got it right that first time. We don't have to keep redoing it 200 and some times now in the past 50 years. That is pure. You can trust it. And if there's things that you don't understand or things that you disagree with, it means that you're wrong. God's right. That's what he says. Don't add to his words, verse 6, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Be careful. But every word of God is pure. And the Bible says, verse 5, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. We have in our hands the perfect, pure word of God. That is our foundation. And God says that now that we have that, if we will trust him, how do we do that? Right here. Trust his person, trust his promises, trust his word. If we will trust him, he will be what? A shield unto us. He'll protect us. He'll watch over us if we will trust him. That's a promise. But the foundational truth is that we have the Word. How do we know how to trust God if we don't have the Word? How do we know who God even is if we don't have the Word? But we do have the Word, and it's pure. And as we trust the Lord, He promises to be that shield. You know, in the New Testament, when it's talking about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "And take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." The shield of faith, the shield of trusting God, the shield of believing God's Word will protect us from those darts that Satan is constantly throwing at us. A couple more verses on this. Look at Psalm 125, verse 1. It's trusting God, trusting His Word. Psalm 125, verse 1, the Bible says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." They that trust in the Lord cannot be removed. Look at Proverbs 29, 25. We'll see it again. Proverbs 29, 25. The Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth the snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Safe. Everybody wants safety. Well, there it is. There's your safety. Trust God. Amen. Trust in Jehovah, as it says there. All caps L-O-R-D. That's the Hebrew Jehovah. So this foundation is what Solomon's building on, that we have the pure and perfect Word of God, and if we will trust the God of the Bible, He will be that shield. Now, it includes a little warning there in verse 6, little proviso. Did you see that? "Add thou not unto His words." Be careful not to try to add to the Word of God. We've been talking about it in Sunday school for 9 weeks now. All these groups that keep adding things to the Bible. Things that aren't in there. And they add stuff. But you know, whenever we question God's ways, whenever we say, "Oh, well, that doesn't apply to me," or "it doesn't apply to my situation," we need to be careful ever making those sorts of thoughts or statements about the Word of God, because we're essentially adding, aren't we? We need to believe this is pure. This is exactly what God wants us to have, has no mistakes. And if it disagrees with us, we're wrong. If it disagrees with our behavior, we're wrong. This book is always right. Don't ever add to it. Because God gave us a warning, didn't He, in Proverbs or in Revelation 22. We'll turn there quickly, verse 18. A very stern warning about adding to His words. Revelation 22, verse 18. Notice what He says. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book." Who's doing the punishing? God. What does He say? "Don't add to my word." God is very, how should I say this? Very sensitive, if you will, about His word. He doesn't want you messing with it. You know, I would never want to plan to go to heaven and stand before the judgment seat of Christ having been a Bible translator of some of these modern Bibles. I can't even imagine. It's a scary thought. Anyway, He's laid this foundation for us. Amen. The Word of God is pure, and as we trust Him, He will be that shield. Don't ever try to add to the Word of God your own thoughts or opinions. The Word is finished. It's pure. It's perfect. It's exactly what we need. Having that foundation, look what He says, verse 7 of Proverbs 30. "Two things, Lord, two things have I required of Thee. Please deny me them not before I die." Remember who's writing this. The man that was imparted the most wisdom any man's ever been imparted with outside of Christ. He says, "Lord, before I die, can you just give me these two things? Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lord, all I ask is that you just meet my basic needs. Don't give me too much, because if you do, I'll probably make some serious mistakes." You think he's writing from experience? The man that took 1,000 wives? And what that led to, the dividing of the kingdom for hundreds of years. He had everything. He was rich. He had all this wisdom. Did he have to take 1,000 wives? No. That was his own selfishness. That was his own sin. So let's walk through these and see what he's telling us. Verse 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. If we're not careful, we can get caught up in the vanity of this world. And we all get to experience now that we have social media, something that wasn't around in Solomon's day. But the Bible says, love not the world, right? 1 John chapter 2. Neither the things that are in the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. The Bible says to love it not, to stay away from all that vanity. But also lies. John chapter 8, 44. Do you know who the father of lies is? Thank you, Jan. Jan gave us a spoiler alert there. But John 8, 44, if you want to turn there. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We've been talking about it in Sunday school. There's a lot of lies out there, and they're just going to get worse. There's just going to be more and more lies. Who's inventing all these lies? The devil. And then he works through man to spread them. And Solomon here toward the end of his life says, Lord, please keep me from those two things. Vanity, which the world is all caught up in the vanity, and the lies. Help me to stick with verse 5, the truth of the pure word of God. And to watch out for the lies. The Bible says, try the spirits, 1 John 4:1, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Many. So if we have the pure, perfect word of God, which we do, then we have what we need. And as we trust God through his word, he promises to be that shield to protect us from the vanity, to protect us from the lies. It always comes back to the word of God. But then he explains in verse 8, don't give me too much, don't give me too little. That's not asking too much, is it? But how many Christians are constantly wanting more? Lord, I want more. I want more money. I want more stuff. So let's talk about it. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. God always promised to meet our needs, didn't he? Even in the model prayer that Jesus gave, we're to pray for our daily bread. Problem is, if we have too much, we probably don't pray for our daily bread because we know our paycheck's going to take care of it, which we're going to get to. But he's talking here about the dangers of covetousness. Let's look at Hebrews 13 quickly, verse 5, if we could. And it seems like there's so many Christians, they're always wanting more. I just want more. More what? You have the Word of God, you have salvation, you have eternal life, you're on your way to heaven. I don't personally know of one Christian in this country that's starving to death, that's living on the streets, barely getting by, eating out of rubbish bins. I don't know of one. And yet, constantly Christians are wanting more. Notice Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, that is your behavior, everything about you, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Contentment's a difficult thing for us selfish creatures, isn't it? But this is what God says. We love to quote the end of this verse, by the way. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But how often do we take it in context? The context is to be content. The context is to not be covetous. And if you're not covetous and you're content with what God's provided, He has promised that He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But we're always wanting more, and it always leads to complaining and moaning, discontentment. And Solomon is saying, Lord, please help me not to fall down that trap of wanting more. Because, Lord, I've already made that mistake with the women, didn't he? And look what that led to. So, don't give me too little, Lord, please. But, verse 9, don't give me too much, lest I be full and deny thee. You see, God knows us. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would. God knew Israel. God knows man. God knows us. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. This is when Moses is about to leave. He's about to turn over the nation of Israel to Joshua. He's giving his final words in the book of Deuteronomy. And look what he says in Deuteronomy 8:10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. When you finally get your land, when the enemy's been removed, when all the fruit trees are giving you good fruit, when all the stuff you plant is giving you crops, when you're full, beware. You think God knows us? Beware lest what? You forget God. Beware. In the Old Testament, Jesus says, woe unto you that are full, in Luke 6:25. Amos 6:1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Look at Revelation 3, if you would, verse 17. Remember, Revelations chapter 2 and 3 is where Jesus is speaking to the seven churches, which means he's speaking to us. And when he gets to the last of the seven, which is probably the one that's most representative of today's church, the church of Laodicea, he says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's today's church. I think they have it all. And God says, no, you don't. He's rebuking the church here. He says, verse 18, I want you to anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You need to wake up and realize that you don't have everything. You've got a long way to go. You've got things to change in your life to be more like Jesus. But sometimes when we get full, we are tempted to deny the Lord. Not like Peter did, but forget that he's the one that provides all of our needs. He's the one that watches out for us. He's our shield. He's the one that's given us his word and salvation. And we forget to trust him for everything because we're full. And this can go into the spiritual realm as well. Paul never had this problem. If you go to Philippians 3:13, we'll see this. Paul understood that we're never there. We've never arrived. We should never believe that we are full spiritually. And if we're full materially, well, the Bible makes it clear what we should do. And that's, if you see your brother have need, and if you have the opportunity, what does it say? Meet the need. 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18. But notice here in Philippians 3, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I don't believe I've ever arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Does that sound like someone who's satisfied? No. He just kept pressing and pressing and pressing. And he got to the end of his ministry right before he was beheaded, and he said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. There in 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul understood this. He never got full. He never got to that point where he thought, oh, I've arrived, I'm a super Christian. I'm better than all the other Christians. No, he never was like that. And God says we shouldn't be either. God is all that we need, my friend. Look at Psalm 73 and verse 25 and we'll see this. And we need to learn this great truth, because all that stuff you have, God can take it away in a day. Look at Job. Yes, he was a spiritual man, but he was also a very wealthy man. And God took all of his wealth away in one day. Or he allowed Satan to do it. All of it. All of his buildings. All of his cows. If they were cows, but he had, you know, wealth was measured back then by how much stock you had. Not stock exchange stock, but cows or sheep or goats or whatever they were, all in one day, gone. Not to mention his children. God can take it all away in a day, but notice Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See that word portion? God's your portion. Amen? He's all you need. So we need to have the same attitude that Solomon had. Lord, I just pray for enough to feed my family every day, have clothes on the back, have a roof over our heads. That's enough. And Lord, honestly, don't give me too much, because if you do, I'm sure I'll mess it up. That's why you don't meet many rich Christians. It's not because God doesn't have the capability to make Christians rich. Usually it's just the preachers of prosperity theology that are rich, but not the lowly Christians. But why is that? It's because he knows that the percentage of Christians that can handle it, he knows what that percentage is, but I guarantee you it's small. He knows. Look at what happens to people that win lotteries. Years later, it's always the same. They squander it all away, and then they end up poor. How is that even possible? Because that's just the way we are. We're selfish, self-centered creatures, and God will tell us the percentage when we get to heaven, but I'll bet it's 99.99% of Christians can't handle it. That's why he didn't give it to us. And Solomon recognized this. He was a wealthy man, but he said, Lord, I'm to that point where I realize I've made a lot of major mistakes. Read the book of Ecclesiastes sometimes and you'll see some of it. Now I just pray, don't give me too much, don't give me too little. Help me not to be satisfied with my spiritual life, but help me to always be content with my physical life. And if we could do those two things based on the foundation of God's word, we will go a long way toward being more like Jesus. Think about all those amazing physical possessions Christ had while he ministered on earth. He didn't have any, did he? He had nothing but the clothes on his back and the shoes on his feet. The entire time that he ministered to the world, he had physically nothing. Every day was just whatever was provided. That's what they ate. He even said, I don't have a place to sleep. I don't have a house. This is the Son of God. This is God in the flesh. He chose to live this way. Why? I think to teach us something. Amen? We don't need all that stuff. It's just going to lead to trouble. Better is little with the fear of the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:16, than great treasure and trouble therewith. So Jesus was also teaching us that lesson as well, wasn't he? Just through his example. He could have lived like a king. And no, none of us would have questioned it, right? 2,000 years later, if he would have chose to walk this earth in gold-lined robes with the crown on his head, none of us would have questioned it because he's God. He's worthy of all that, but he didn't. He chose to live a life of poverty to teach us we need God, and that's all we need. Amen. So, Lord, please, not poverty, but not riches. Help me to never be satisfied with my spiritual life, to never be full. And I'm going to trust you for the basics. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said, having food and raiment, Matthew chapter 6, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy 6 as well. If you got food on your table, clothes on your back, be content. But don't be full. Don't ever be full. Don't ever feel like you're filled up and have enough, because then you're in trouble. Like he said, Lord, if I get too full, I'm going to deny you. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be so poor that I take your name in vain, which, by the way, the world does all the time. That's because they're empty. Spiritually, they have nothing. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they came from. They don't know where they're going. They don't know the meaning of life. They know nothing. They know they're searching for something. They don't know what it is. They can't find it. And so what do? They take God's name in vain. So lest I be full. Let's be careful there. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful example from Solomon's life. I pray, Lord, that we would be content with what you provide. And Lord, never be content with our spiritual lives. Never be full. Never be filled up to the point that we believe we've arrived, but to realize we haven't. Because then we'll just deny you. And we don't want to do that. So I pray you'll help us in this, Lord, to learn to be content with what you provided physically and to never be content with where we are spiritually. And to always rely on your precious and preserved pure word as our shield. May we trust you through all things. Lord, again, if there's someone in this service that's not yet come to the point where they realize Jesus offers them eternal life, if they will but come to him as their Savior, I pray today they'll realize that and be saved. We love you and pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.